Well, the desire to have a baby can be an overwhelmingly powerful one, and that's at the core of a new play called Rocking the Cradle. It opened last night at the Tarragon Theatre. Our Lynn Slotkin was in attendance, and she's here with her review to tell us more. Hello there, Lynn.
Hi, Karen.
Good to see you.
Same here.
Tell us a little bit about the play's background. It's an adaptation, is it not?
It's an adaptation, yes. First, let me clarify. Rocking the Cradle is different from the 1930s musical The Cradle Will Rock by Mark Blitzstein.
Just watched it last
exactly.
weekend, that movie.
See?
Tim
there
Robbins directed
yes.
it.
Yes, yeah. So there we have it. Rocking the Cradle at Tarragon is written by Des Walsh, which he has freely adapted from the Spanish play Yerma by Federico García Lorca, also written in the 1930s. Yerma is about a woman named Yerma, and she's married to a farmer and is desperate for a child, and it's not happening because she's barren. I realize that's a tricky word. However, Yerma in Spanish means barren. So for this purpose, I'm using that word. The irony here is that the women in her small village are fertile. They all have children, or they're pregnant. Her husband's land is fertile. His crops are lush. This fertility surrounding the barren Yerma drives her to do something drastic.
Okay, so how does this play out in Rocking the Cradle?
In Rocking the Cradle, it takes place in an isolated outport, accessible only by water, and I sense that it takes place in Newfoundland, which I think is fabulous. It opens on the second anniversary party for Joan and her husband, Vince. They are obviously in love. They can't keep their hands off each other. We see immediately that Joan yearns for a baby. Over the 5 years span of the play, she gets more and more desperate for a child. All the young women of the village are either pregnant or have kids, again, like Yerma. Vince becomes more and more remote. He's a fisherman who is more interested in going to work than being with his wife. And initially, she worries about his health. He never eats. He seems pale, listless. He brushes it off and he leaves as soon after waking up as he can. And he works very late, coming home very late. They rarely sleep together. So in this adapted version, it's not that Joan is infertile, it's that she can't, so that she can't have a child. It's that Vince won't sleep with her. And we really, you know, we learn that he doesn't want to have children. Mm. He thinks they're fine, you know, this couple is fine the way they are. Well, clearly, they aren't, you know. And again, this play ends with dramatic results. I found this play so frustrating because there are so many loose ends and questions that aren't addressed.
Do you think that something got lost in this adaptation, that by putting it into a Canadian mm-hmm. context or somehow modernizing it mm-hmm. lost something from the original?
No, I truly don't.
Oh, okay.
You know, I have to tell you, I had great expectations when I read the press release on the play. Yerma is such a rich play with psychological and emotional implications. I loved the idea that this adaptation is set in Newfoundland, or at least its environments. And Walsh's dialogue certainly captures the quirky flavor of the place and the people who live there. I can envision, for instance, the husband, Vince, as a hugely successful fisherman, but not being able to produce a child. You can realize Joan's situation in this outport with Yerma, the original material, as a guide. It's just that Walsh doesn't really follow that. Rather, you know, rather than a gut-wrenching psychological drama full of passion and desire, Rocking the Cradle is just a disappointing play about a failed marriage that missed so many opportunities that were in the original.
What about the production? Does it make up in any way for the disappointment?
Alas.
No.
Richard Rose has directed a fussy, overly busy production that distracts from the play rather than serving it. There is an annoying scrim in front of the stage for most of the play so that the images of windows and raging water can be projected on it. There are sound effects of howling wind with a very clever way of showing the rising tide done with sheets waving from one side of the stage to the other that try and add tension or atmosphere when the play should be doing it. Initially, traditional songs are effective in illuminating Joan's frustration, but there are 8 of them. And, you know, that's 6 too many. We get the point after 2 songs. The acting is more declarative than naturalistic, although, as Joan, Ruth Lawrence is admirable as the fragile-minded, emotional center of the play. So sadly, Rocking the Cradle is a disappointment. You know, I would suggest people read Yerma to find out just how wonderful this possibility could be.
Great to see you. Thanks
Same
so much,
here.
Lynn. Bye-bye.
Take care.